Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. This is the 14th in a series of about 100 teachings, and the second in the one that we were calling the Alpha and the Omega. And we had gone over the fact that God is, he says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega in Revelations 1:8, who is, who was, and who is to come. That he's not only the beginning and the end, but he's everything in the middle. And this goes along with another scripture in Acts 17 that says he's not far from each one of us. But we're not going to bump into God accidentally. We have to do the things that he tells us to do. Last time we had read Romans chapter 5, I want to in particular read, and we're going to go into today the death. So I'm going to read these verses that pertain to Christ's death. And I believe his death is for our heart, for the Holy Spirit and for our heart. And it says, while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. So Christ died for two people. These are not believers. These are unbelievers. They are helpless and ungodly. A believer is not ungodly. So the blood is for the believer. The death is for the unbeliever. Now let's look at another one in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. This is kind of like a technical manual, and it gets very technical here, but yet it's very simple. God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Once a person becomes born from above, they are not called a sinner anymore. They're called a son of God. Now, it doesn't mean they don't sin, but they are not captive to sin that we are before we become a son of God. And then in verse 10 of chapter 5 of Romans, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So now it tells you the four states of man, the four conditions of man that man was in, and the reason Christ died for us. He died for the helpless in verse 6. He died for the ungodly in verse 6. He died for the sinner in verse 8. He died for the enemies of God in verse 10. Now, look at what it says about the blood. We are now being justified by his blood. He's talking to the believer. You're now being justified by his blood. So we are now under the blood. God looks at us. If you are truly a son of God, he looks at us through the Son and through his blood. And when he looks at us, we are white as snow if we are under the blood of the Lamb. You see, we're like the person living in the house in the Old Testament that killed the sacrifice of the Lamb and sprinkled it on the doorpost and lintel, and it saved him from the death angel killing the firstborn child in that house. And the same way the blood covers our sins today. And I'm not saying the firstborn is going to die today, but that's what happened in Moses' time. You'll remember the story, you see. And then the resurrection will save our flesh. We'll get a new body or flesh. And that's a great chapters in 1 Corinthians 15. So now we've selected, let's say, seven scriptures where we're going to read about the death of the Lamb. And I want to read, first place I'm going to go is Romans 4:25. Romans 4:25, and the context here is 16 through 25. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promises will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you, in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. So here again, it shows he was delivered over because of our transgression. He was delivered to die on the cross. And then the next one I was going to read was Romans 5, and we've already been through that last tape. And then I read the main verses. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's 5:8 and 5:10 of Romans. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now, the next place it talks about Christ's death and our participation in that death is found in Romans 6. So we've read parts of Romans 4, 5, and 6. What shall we say then? I'm reading Romans 6, 1 through 11. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. See, it's appointed for man once to die. So he took care of that, and when you, my friend, are baptized, you fulfill that death. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, you know what? This is the best promise you ever want to read. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. And verse 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death is no longer a master over him. Look at verse 11, even so consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God. Death is no longer master over you. But you must, my friend, participate in Jesus' death. He did three things. He died on the cross. Don't forget that. That was a horrible thing that he underwent, the punishment, his death for us. It is appointed for all men once to die, and then comes the judgment. And Jesus took our place at death. It says we're to take up our cross, and this is actually what it means here. So if you have any questions, go back and read Romans 6, 1 through 11. Very excellent scripture. And a very excellent promise that once you die, you'll never die again. Well, boy, jump for joy on that one. That is a good scripture. Romans 8, 32, 31 through 39. What then shall we say for these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are reading 2 Corinthians 5, 11 to 16. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God, and I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences. We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Now, the next place I'm going to be reading about regarding Christ's death is Ephesians 4, starting in 25, going to chapter 5, verse 2. That's the full context. The main verse that we're going to be looking at is Ephesians 5, 2. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no more, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edifying, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. That's the verse I was looking at. And walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. He died on the cross for you, my friend. Now, this is the final scripture we're going to be reading about Christ's death. It is Hebrews 10, I think it's 1 through 18. For the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have a conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins year by year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, "Sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God." After saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them which are offered according to the law. Then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But he, speaking of Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting for the time onward until his enemies become a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. That word sanctified is agios, which means holy, made holy. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to this, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws upon their heart and on their mind I will write them, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin." And the one verse I want to bring out here is verse 10 of chapter 10. By this will we have been sanctified or made holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Okay, while we still have some time, I would like to go back over some of these scriptures. Romans 4:25, Jesus was delivered for our offenses. In Romans 5, verses 6, 8, and 10, Jesus died for those without strength. And that is the Greek word asthenes, which means astheno, without strength, without. It's something we get strong when we get the Holy Spirit. It's the opposite of having the Holy Spirit. If he died for the ungodly, for the ungodly is asebomai, which means a person that is without devotion or a non-worshipper of God. He died for the sinners, amartelon. That is people that miss the mark. Amartia is an archery term, and it means to miss the bullseye. People that cannot hit the bullseye, they cannot do the right thing with God. They are trespassers, incapable of obeying God's laws. He died for the enemies of God, ekthros, a foe, or to hate. So he died for those. Romans 6, 3 through 5. When we were baptized into Jesus' death. We were buried with him in baptism into death. We were planted together with Jesus. That is the Greek word sumphotos, together with him. The old man was crucified. The body of sin was destroyed. And the person was no longer a slave to sin. That's Romans 6, 1 through 11. Romans 8, 32. Now it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? You know, I just think of anybody that wants to fight against Israel. Good luck. You know, if God is for us, who is going to be against us? If somebody is a friend of God, I would suggest you don't fight with that man. Because God is for him. You'll find this all throughout the Bible. Leave them alone if God is for them. You are taking on a much bigger thing than you want to take on. It's actually pretty funny when you think about it. And God says he'll laugh at them and mock at them. So it's better to be on God's side. God will freely give us all things in Romans 8. He gives us justification, not condemnation. Jesus now makes intercession for us. He is now a priest after the order of Melchizedek, and he goes to God day and night. He doesn't have a time schedule. He's not stopped going to God by death because he lives forever to go to God for us. And we are more than conquerors through Jesus. Hooper Nikeo, we are above conquering through Jesus. Nike, like the shoes, Nike means to conquer, and Uber is above. We are above conquerors. We can jump over the problem, so to speak. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. I am persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any created thing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And in 2 Corinthians 5:15, Jesus died for us all, that we would no longer live to ourselves, but live to him, no longer be separated from God. If you carry away one thing besides the death today, recognize that death means separation. He became separated from the Most High God, and it was a heartbreaker. It broke Jesus' heart. To be separated. Death does not mean oblivion. It means separation. Okay? And let's see. We've got a couple more points here. Christ showed us his love for us when he sacrificed himself as a sweet-smelling savor to God. And as a result, God calls us his dear children. And in Hebrews 10:10, we have been made holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Now, let's not take away from the blood. We're going to go over that next time, and that's exciting too. That is a wonderful teaching. I can't wait to see you the next time we meet again, dear friend, and we will go over the blood of Christ, and may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. If you have any questions or comments, please call me, Andy, at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. That's Andy at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.